You're with us for the morning show as we examine data reporting strategies on COVID-19 here in Wisconsin and why state and local health department data may not match up in their single day totals. What questions do you have when you look at these data dashboards all over the place? What do you want to know about the reporting of test positivity rates, transmission rates, deaths, and hospitalization numbers? Join in, all things numbers, 800-642-1234. Conversation is here, 800-642-1234. Will Cushman is Associate Editor of WisconText. Will, welcome back.
Good morning, Kate.
Well, we hear these numbers just flowing out every day on the news, all over the place, on our phones. Walk us through where these figures come from.
Yeah, you know, it's even for reporters such as myself who are watching this really closely, it can be confusing sometimes. So the data that we get in Wisconsin that's released either by the state or local health departments every day is coming, most of it, through the Wisconsin Electronic Disease Surveillance System, which is an online system where healthcare practitioners and labs where they test for the coronavirus that causes COVID-19 report when they identify new cases. And so they have to upload case reports within 24 hours of a diagnosis, either upload fax or mail it in. Most commonly it's uploaded.
Said like facsimile machine fax?
Yeah. Faxing is an option.
Okay.
Right. In some local health departments, some of their numbers are associated with fax reports that they get in from labs and healthcare practitioners. But most of the stats that they're reporting are coming in through the electronic disease surveillance system. And local health departments and the state will pull data from that system usually once a day, and that is where their new case reports come from every day, the ones that they report publicly.
And so if they're not all pulling that data at the exact same time, is that where they run into some variations?
Exactly. That is the big key reason why there are differences between the State Department of Health Services numbers and those offered by a lot of counties and local health departments in the state. It's because they are often tracking different 24-hour periods. So in Dane County, the reporting that I just did focused on Dane County practices, so Public Health Madison and Dane County, and they pull case reports very early, first thing in the morning, as do a lot of local health departments in Wisconsin, and that is to help their contact tracers get a head start on the day.
Oh, get a jump on the day, sure.
Exactly, yeah. When I talked to a spokesperson from the Department of Health Services at the state, she said that it actually takes 2 hours for the agency to download data every day. So it's quite a process. And for the state, it probably takes longer most days than local health departments just because it's pulling in the data from all across the state versus mm-hmm. just one jurisdiction. But it's a long process. And the state's numbers are reported every day at 2 p.m. And so they're often pulling their numbers a little bit later than local health departments because they're not directly responsible for things like contact tracing.
Okay, so Will, if I want to be like an armchair biostatistician, why does it matter if every local government does things slightly differently or if the case counts vary by a dozen people, for instance?
Right. There are a lot of armchair biostatisticians out there right now. Armchair epidemiologists. I'll admit I'm one of them. And I would say that your best bet is to stick to a consistent, like if you're interested in the statewide numbers, look at those every day. If you're interested in a specific jurisdiction, look at those every day, and just understand that what they're reporting is accurate, even if they do appear different sometimes. Because the state does break down its numbers by county, so there are sometimes some discrepancies that can be confusing if you don't understand what goes into the reporting.
We heard from Asia on Twitter asking, are the cases from the Fort McCoy Army installation, are they being reported to the local and state health departments?
The answer is I'm not positive, but they should be. COVID-19 is a Category 1 disease, which means that when a diagnosis is made, it is the legal responsibility of whomever made that diagnosis to report the new diagnosis. So they should be.
Will Cushman is associate editor of WisconText. We're looking at state and local health department data reporting on COVID, why totals may differ. What questions do you have about COVID-19 metrics and case report discrepancies? What data set do you follow most closely? Join in the conversation, 800-642-1234. We'll continue this conversation ahead with Will Cushman here on the Ideas Network. It is the morning show. We're taking a closer look at pandemic reporting data in our state and why single day numbers don't add up when comparing numbers from the state and local health departments. One issue, there's not a consistent standard for how health authorities define COVID cases. What do you want to know about the reporting of transmission rates and hospitalization numbers? What confuses you about all these dashboards? It's 800-642-1234. Conversation right here, 800-642-1234. Will Cushman of WisconText is our guide. So, Will, you've been looking into how the state law limits the Department of Health Services' ability to determine how and when local health departments share data. Why is that so important?
Well, that's important because it's really what is behind, or partially what is behind, these differences in the state and local numbers day to day. Because local health officers in Wisconsin are given quite a bit of latitude to respond to disease outbreaks in their local jurisdictions, because they have the resources there locally and are in the best position to do so. And part of that response includes they have the latitude to decide how, when, and to what degree to release the case report data that they have to the public.
How standardized is it among these health departments and how they're defining COVID-19 cases?
You know, it's becoming more standardized. I think especially during the beginning of the pandemic, they're all local health departments, not just in Wisconsin, pretty much everywhere, were really scrambling to figure out what type of data was most useful to report publicly, what might not be. And local health departments have really settled on a few key metrics, one of those being new cases. But you're right, they do define new cases somewhat differently sometimes. So some local health departments and the State Department of Health Services reports defines a new case for kind of public consumption as a new case on the day that it's publicly reported. Whereas some other local health departments, such as Public Health Madison, Dane County, define new state or new cases based on the date that the test result actually first resulted at the lab, not necessarily when it was reported through the electronic surveillance system and then disseminated out to the public. So some local health departments, like in Dane County, actually backdate new cases to the date of the test result. Yeah. That's where it can get a little confusing, especially when you're looking at these data dashboards. Because, for instance, in Dane County, on September 10th, the county announced a surge of new cases, mostly associated with UW-Madison, over 400 new cases, like 450-some in the morning. And then several hours later, the state announced 480-some new cases for Dane County.
And so as a reporter, you're doing whiplash here. Like, what? Wait, what?
Yeah, we were actually confused within our own newsroom, like, what's going on here? And then we realized, oh, it's because, well, Dane County is pulling their numbers a little bit earlier than the state is. And especially when there's a surge in cases somewhere locally, or even a few hours, you're liable to have many new cases be reported. But then on Dane County's dashboard now, they attribute most of those cases to September 9th. There's actually more than 400 cases attributed to September 9th and about 200 some attributed to September 10th. And that's because Dane County does that backdating associated with the test results. So it can get kind of confusing.
Well, we only have a few seconds left, but this is where you can plug, you know, it's really about looking at long-term trends here, is it not?
100%. Yep. I've talked to health officials and epidemiologists, and they said, really, you should be focusing on those longer term trends, 7-day averages and longer.
Will, thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much, Kate.
Will Cushman is associate editor of WisConText. You can find his reporting, by the way, at wisconText.org. Coming up, we check in on the 2020 census and the response rate in Wisconsin, which is, by the way, one of the highest in the nation. But, and here's the but, the North Woods lags behind in the count. We'll ask why that is. News update is next. Stay with us here on the Ideas Network. If you're just joining us, we're checking in on the 2020 census. Wisconsin's self-response rate to the census is among the best in the nation. We stand at almost 72% as of yesterday. We trail Washington by 0.1%. Minnesota, soundly in the lead. But look around Wisconsin, and the response rate of counties in the North Woods lags well behind the rest of the state. So why is that? Have you returned your census form? What do you want to say about the census? We're at 800-642-1234. Peggy O'Connell is director of the Minocqua Public Library, where she's been helping her community with the census form. Peggy, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Good morning.
So what have you been doing on the census front in your community through the public library?
Well, we got information from our library system and the American Library Association last fall, so fall of 2019, about ways that we can prepare to help the community with filling out the census form and making sure that they do respond. So, you know, libraries are a trusted source of information in the community, so the first thing we did, I think, was educate our staff about the census so that we were well positioned to be giving accurate information to our patrons and community members. And from then, it's just been an awareness campaign in our library as far as making sure that we, you know, have information out and available about not only filling out the form, but being, you know, being possibly a census worker as well. As I know the need in Oneida County, the county that our library is in, and other northern counties up there, there's been a great need for workers as well.
What about in these northern counties? Is it possible that the lack of broadband or internet reliability, is that a barrier to getting these forms in?
I think definitely it is. You know, it from my personal experience, you know, filling out the census form online was such an easy thing to do. Mm-hmm. And for people that don't have reliable internet access up here, if they have to do it by mail, you know, they may get that piece of mail in their mailbox and just decide it's just kind of another annoying thing that they have to fill out. And if they'd had reliable internet access, possibly that would have propelled them to fill it out that way. So it's definitely an issue in our northern counties, that, and also cell phone reception, which can be very spotty. We have, you know, lots of rural and heavily forested areas up here where access to those things is prohibited.
Well, we heard from Evan in Marinette County, emailed to say that they filled out their census form. They received a second piece of census mail at their second property. Does Evan need to complete another form for the second property? And if not, does it count as a non-response?
In my conversations with the census professionals, he should fill out that second census form, only where it says how many people are living here, you would put zero there. So they are counting those second dwellings, but those people are receiving that second census form, but they don't fill out how many people are actually living there.
So we're talking with Peggy O'Connell right now. We're looking at the census forms and what is happening in the rural areas of Wisconsin as census response rates are have been lagging behind. Let's take a call now. Jack is joining us with a quick question on the census. Hi, Jack.
Yeah, when did, you know, the census is how many people live in the United States. My question is, when did they start asking for the different racial groups that were living in your house, you know, what your ethnicity was. It was just to see how many people live in the United States, and now it's more exact. And I was just wondering when that ever started.
Jack, thanks for the question. Peggy, what do we know about that history?
Actually, I'm not sure about that. I'm not sure. I think that would be something you would need to contact the census or census office about. I'm not sure about that date on that.
So
I hate to give out wrong information.
So since the pandemic started, Minocqua Public Library reopened its doors with reduced hours. What services are still accessible to patrons now that the library is reopened?
We do have, we are reopened, and we do have our computers available. We typically have 11 public computers. We just have three of them available right now. But if someone were to come in needing to fill out the census form, that person would definitely be given priority as far as, you know, making sure that we make a computer available. Also, we do have a 30-minute limit, but if someone were filling out the census form, we would definitely allow that person to finish what they need to do before asking them to leave. So,
Peggy, as you talk with other libraries in your networks, how important are libraries to getting a response to the census in the communities?
You know, libraries are, you know, that trusted source of information in our communities. So, you know, we're also here to dispel rumors about the census and to make sure that people have accurate information, that, you know, that your information is not going to be given to law enforcement or anything like that. So I think, you know, we do have a role to play. And I think that with the census and sometimes with the low response rates, we just need to make people understand that there is, you know, the consequences for not filling out the census for communities, that, you know, it's all about, you know, legislative representation and money for our communities. So I think, you know, just keep trying to inform people about the importance of taking part and also the ease of the questionnaire. I found it very easy to fill out, and so just helping people understand that this is not a burden, that it is your civic duty to fill out the census. You are required to do that, and that is a simple and you know, necessary thing that you should take part in.
Well, Peggy, something that you love to see people do at libraries is research. And our producer, Jana Rose, she went on to census.gov to find an answer to Jack's question. And the question about a person's race originated with the 1790 census. And local, state, tribal, and federal programs use this data, and they're really critical factors in the basic research behind numerous policies. And so race data being used in planning, funding government programs that provide funds or services for specific groups. Peggy, what are some common questions that you get about the census?
Why is the need there? You know, what how long will it take me? What is the government going to do with my information? Those are just, you know, we haven't had a lot of questions. I think we've had a census worker kind of camped out in front of the library pretty much every week in August. And I know that he was pretty impressed just asking people as they were walking into the library, have you filled out your census form? And many of them said, oh, yes, I've filled it out. So I think we do have a pretty good response rate in Wisconsin. And as far as the northern communities, I think, you know, because we have so many seasonal and second homes, I think that does impact our numbers here. So it might not be, and also from what I've heard from census professionals is that our response rate this time around versus 2010 is actually higher.
Oh.
So hopefully we're going in the right direction, and people are still able to fill out the census, so they can still respond. So if anyone hasn't done that, I know that the Census Bureau would be happy for me to say that you are able to still respond if you go to www.2020census.gov and do the questionnaire. It is so simple and easy and straightforward.
And Peggy, you know, counties like Sawyer, Burnett, Bayfield, Vilas, Forest, their self-response rates are hovering in the 30%, in the 30s. Oneida County has 46% of residents responding at the moment. What do you think makes the variation that we're seeing here in the North Woods?
Outside of just, you know, again, it being a very rural area, and again, you know, limited internet access and people maybe just people not really understanding why it's important. And like I said before, you know, they see this form show up in their mailbox and it might just be another annoying piece of mail. So I think I think we just have to hammer home, you know, what is the reason for the count and why is it important?
Well, we only have a few seconds left, but I want to ask you about your library. How are you reaching your patrons and holding up in the pandemic?
We're holding up. We are trying to get the word out about services that we have available any way that we can. We realize not everybody is online. Not everybody has a Facebook page. Not everybody is going to different websites to get information. So we're trying to hang flyers up around town about our programs and services, talk to the media, get letters or articles in the newspaper to let people know that we are still here for them, that we still can help. In many ways, we have drive-up service. We are able to, even when we closed back in March, we were able to get tax forms out a window to people, helping people with printing. So even though the doors were closed, we were still very much open, and we are here every day. People can call us, and we'll find a way to help if we can.
Well, Peggy, thank you so much for joining us.
You're welcome.
Peggy O'Connell is director of the Minocqua Public Library. I'm Kay Dircher-Kent. This is The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.